2 Samuel chapter number 22, we're going to read, just look at verse number 1, and then we'll read a few verses, then jump down to our text. But David here is towards the end of his life, and he is writing a psalm. He had peace, God had delivered him from all of his enemies, and David is the king. He had been the king. He is looking back and praising God for his blessings in his life. Verse number 1 says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, and him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." And he goes on and he praises the Lord for all of his many blessings. And truly, we can say God has been good to us. Amen. And he says a lot. A lot of this is repeated in Psalm chapter number 18. But I want to get down to verse number 29. It says this. He's continuing with these thoughts in verse number 29. "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation." And here's our text today. "And thy gentleness hath made me great." Thy gentleness hath made me great. That has stood out to me all week. I've talked about it with our high school. I've talked about it with pastors. I've had several conversations with different pastors who are dealing with some things, some hard things, some sin in their church, some people that are really pushing back on some things, and others some family issues. And this verse has come in repeatedly this week. For whatever reason, God really laid it up on my heart. But it's just interesting, David's statement there at the end of verse number 6, where he says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Same thing is said in Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 35. God's gentleness hath made me great. I hope by the end of the message today we all understand the same thing, that God's gentleness hath made us great. Again, David's not patting himself on the back saying, "Look how great I am." What David is saying is this: everything good in my life, and David had now and was in a place, he has been delivered from all of his enemies, he now is where God wanted him to be, doing what God wanted him to do, serving how God wanted him to serve, and that is a great thing. If you today are found in the service of the Lord, in the will of God, where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, God hath made you great too. But it's God's gentleness. This is illustrated in Isaiah chapter number 40. Turn there real quick. I like this verse. We're going to look at a few verses. Isaiah chapter number 40. In Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 10. Isaiah 40, verse number 10. Isaiah 40, verse 10 says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with them, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." God's gentle hand. If we look back, I think all of us can see God's gentleness in our life. Now, God is the most powerful being that has ever existed. He's always existed. He is an almighty God, but yet he is most gentle. There are times that we need rebuke. There's times that we need sharp words. But it never changes the fact that we should always speak the truth in love. I'm going to say this really quick because it's really important for us to understand. It's really important for our teenagers to understand and parents for your kids to get a hold of this. There is no call ever for a believer not to be known as for being gentle. Now, you can rebuke and say the right words with love. God's gentleness. You say, I'm not geared that way. Well, then change the way you're geared. We talked about Thursday night, Galatians chapter number 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Let's turn there real quick. Let's look at it real quick. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. Look at this real quick with me. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse number 22. Talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Next word is what?
Gentleness,
goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If the Spirit of God is in control, we're not going to be a loudmouth. If the Spirit of God's in control, we're not going to have a backbiting tongue. The Spirit of God is in control. We're not going to have it. Well, if you don't like what I have to say, tough on you. When the Spirit of God is in control, there will be gentleness. Now, all of you are probably like me, and you're like, wow, how often, obviously, the Spirit of God wasn't in control of my life. When the Spirit of God is in control, there's gentleness. That is a humbling thing I just said. Now, the works of the flesh are contrasted. We looked at this on Thursday, and I'm not going to preach all that again. But when you read the fruit of the Spirit in these verses, you don't get the attitude of someone who's mean-spirited, yelling at people and putting them down. Turn back a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And in verse number 1, I like this verse. Now, understand the context. Paul is correcting some things at the church of Corinth. And one of the things he's about to address is the fact that there were false teachers who had come into the church at Corinth who had brought in some lies and heresies, and they were attacking whether Paul was a man of God or not. They were attacking him being an apostle. And Paul is going to address that issue. Now, if anyone should have known better, it had been the church of Corinth. But yet they had allowed these false teachers to bring in these lies about Paul. And Paul's having to defend himself. But I love what he says in verse number 1. It says, now, before he gets into all the correction, he says, now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. When Paul's going to address these lies and these people that are lying about him and people that had turned their back on him, he says, I'm coming to you with the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. He's going to address the issue with that same spirit. It's remarkable, the more I thought about it this week, how the Lord deals with sinners with gentleness. He's treated us all with great gentleness. Absalom, you remember when he rebelled, and he is leading an attack, and his goal and purpose is to kill David, his father. And David gathers his armies together, and he tells his generals, he said, when you find Absalom, remember his words, deal gently for my sake with the young man. Gentleness. Are you getting the picture of what gentleness is? I gave the illustration in school. If I took, you know, a baseball here, and I said, all right, you know, Brother Joshua, catch this baseball. And I threw the baseball at him. He's going to catch the baseball, I hope, right? Yeah. But then I reached under the pulpit and I pulled out an egg. I almost brought one this morning. I was afraid to make a mess, right? And I pulled out an egg, and I said, here, catch the egg. He's going to catch it entirely differently. He's going to catch it gently. Y'all picture that, right? That's how God deals with us. Aren't you thankful for that today? Amen. That an almighty, all-powerful God who can do anything. But when he deals with us, he deals with us gently. I really pushed this with the kids at school this week, and Thursday and Friday they were playing games, and one of them would get frustrated, and I'd just keep hearing another one saying, ah, be gentle, right? And I'm glad for that. That's a good thing. Because a lot of times when we get frustrated with people and situations, we become not so gentle. And what happens when we're showing a harshness about us and we're not being gentle, we're showing, and I've been guilty, but what we're showing is the Spirit of God is not controlling my life right now. Sometimes we have a good motivation in our harshness, but it doesn't give us an excuse to be wrong. I remember one time Matt got a fish tank. And when he got a fish tank, I needed a fish tank. Because if Matt got a fish tank, I had to get a fish tank. So I went to my dad and said, I want to get a fish tank. He said, all right. We looked at him. He's like, I ain't buying it, too much money. Oh. So I started looking at garage sales. I found a fish tank. It was disgusting. You ever seen a used fish tank? They're usually not pretty, right? But I bought it at a garage sale, and I took it home, and I cleaned it, man. I scrubbed it. I cleaned it. I got all the stuff off the inside. It looked brand new. Cleaned out the filter. Got it all rolling. Let it run for 3 days, because that's what Matt said you had to do. And I let it run for 3 days. Then me and Matt went to Jack's Aquarium, where you could pay $1 and get a free fish every month. Miss those days, right? And got and got some fish, and I brought them back, and I put them in my tank. You know, it was perfectly clean. And in 3 days, they all died. I went back to Jack's Aquarium. I was like, all my fish died. They said, well, bring us a sample of the water. And I said, okay. But and then they said, well, I told them I had bought a used one. They said, how'd you clean it? I told him, a little 409, a little Ajax, remember the powdered Ajax? All right, yeah, right. Scrubbed that thing, it was clean. They said, you killed your fish. I was like, what? They said, those chemicals. I had great motivation, but I killed my fish. A lot of times we have really good motivation, but that harshness, that spirit, that non-gentleness, even with a good motivation, we can destroy the people we love. Really good motivation, but the wrong way. God always deals with us with such gentleness. God desires, and when the Spirit of God is in control of our life, we'll have gentleness. The contrast to that in Galatians chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, but in the above those verses, we looked at it Thursday, the works of the flesh, and the contrast to gentleness is emulations and wrath. Emulations is me wanting to prove I'm superior and I know better than you. Wrath is a harshness and an anger. Those things are works of the flesh. Aren't you glad God doesn't deal with us with harshness?
Yeah.
David said this phrase, and it just stuck with me all week, and I hope it carries with you this week too. He said, thy gentleness hath made me great. You know all the attributes of God? We talk about all kinds of them, don't we? His righteousness, his holiness, his justice, his love. We talk about all kinds of his omnipotence, his omnipresence, and these are all attributes of God. But we don't talk enough about the fact of his gentleness. And David could have said a lot of things made him great, but the thing he chose, recorded in the Word of God by the Holy Spirit of God, is that God's gentleness hath made him great. Amen. So I didn't stop. I thought, well, how did God show gentleness to David? And I hope that as we see this, that we will see how God has shown this for the same reasons, gentleness in our life. And then, may we use that to show gentleness towards other people. Because if that's what God used to make David great, and that's what God used to make us great, then I'm pretty sure if that's the fruit of the Spirit, then God wants us to use that to help other people too. For the same reasons. Number one, the first reason why I believe God used gentleness in the life of David and us is because he saw the reason. He saw the reason. When he looked at David, he saw the potential of what David could become. David, when we are first introduced to him, no one chose David. No one picked out David. You remember when Samuel goes to anoint the next king, God tells him to go to the house of Jesse, and when he goes there, they bring all of his sons, and when the first son walked in, Samuel said in his heart, that guy, that's the king. He looks like a king, he talks like a king, he's a big, strong young man, surely that's the one. And God said, that's not the one. They brought in another son, and another son, and another son. And every one of them, Samuel said, well, this guy, I can see God's going to use this guy. And after all the sons passed through, Samuel looked, and God had said no to all of them. And remember, Samuel looked over there at Jesse, and he said, do you have any more boys? Did he have a boy? Yeah. Why didn't he bring him? Because even his own dad thought, it's not him. Not him. And Jesse said, well, I got this young guy. I have a young son. He's watching the sheep. Samuel said, bring him in. And as soon as David walked through that door, his daddy didn't think he would be the one. And when Samuel first looked at him, he was but a ruddy youth. But what he did not know is that God saw David not for just who he was, but for who he was going to be. Our problem many times in life is we look at people for what they are, not for what God can make them. There's a lot of people sitting in this auditorium that at one time were in a whole lot of sinful messes. There's people in this room right now that one time spent the weekend sitting on a bar stool. There's people in this room that at one time was heading down the wrong path. There's people that come from home situations and family situations that the devil was having a heyday with. And I'm glad God didn't just look at us for who we were, but God saw what we could become through his grace and through his gentleness. And we need to look at other people in the same way. And God, he saw David and he saw what he could become. And he told Samuel that was the one. This is David. Other people just saw a boy. God saw a king. A giant named Goliath saw easy prey. God saw a champion. Saul saw someone who was a bother and an annoyance to him. But God saw someone who would be a leader of men and a blessing. I believe that God dealt with David because he saw there was a reason there. And listen to me. When God looked down upon us, he knew that we would be sinful creatures. But you are the reason Christ came to die for the sins of the world. Because God didn't just see us as what we were, but what we could be. So God dealt with him gently. I believe the second way that we see God's gentleness in David's life is that not only did he saw him as the reason, but secondly, he supplied him with resources. He dealt gently with David in the fact that he took care of him and prepared him. We could go all the way back when he fought a lion and a bear, right? God gave this young man strength to overcome that lion and that bear. He gave him the skill to use a sling to slay a giant. He gave him a song that would be able to soothe a hateful, evil king. He gave him a shrewdness about him to be able to lead men in battle. He gave him the right spirit to be able to pen most of our psalms and so much of the word of God. He gave him a steadfastness to go back and to rescue his family that had been taken by an enemy. He gave him the stability to be able to rule as a king. Anything that God wanted and needed David to do, God gave him the ability, the talent, and the strength to do it. God never put David in a situation that he did not prepare David for and give him the strength to do it. He dealt gently with him. God never pushed him into a situation and then left him out there just to flounder. God gave him what he needed. God has shown great gentleness in our life, and the fact that wherever you are, whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever ministry God has presented before you, whatever mountain God has placed in front of you, whatever valley God has placed, if you're walking in the will of God, God will give you everything you need to overcome that. And David looked back at the end of his life and he said, I don't think David's the kind of person that thought when he was a young man, yep, I'm going to be king one day. I don't think David was a man, you know, as when a lion came, that thought, yep, God prepared me for this, I'm going to whip this lion, right? I mean, he probably faced the same fears we did, but he trusted God. Right. And God gave him victories. And God dealt gently with him. So much that even those, his own son who turned against him, he said, please show him gentleness. A lot of people I've heard say, yeah, David is so weak. David was responding the same way God had responded to him. I'll show you that in just a second. He saw David as a reason, so he dealt gently with him. He supplied his resources and gave him everything he needed to get through whatever he faced. Thirdly, he shielded his revered. God protected David supernaturally. His own brothers despised him. Saul spent years trying to slay him. The armies of Israel tried to chase him down. The Philistines wanted to kill him. A giant wanted to slay him. A bear and a lion wanted to maul him. But God protected a servant. In most of those stories I just told you, David was a youth. And he dealt with David with such gentleness, protecting this young man, shielding this young man. I don't think any of us until we get to heaven will know how just how often God was watching over us. And how many times God showed his goodness to us over and over again, and a lot of times we probably won't even know till we get to heaven. But number four, and this is where I really see God's gentleness in action. We all know this. David sinned. David had some sin issues. David, I can take it to scriptures, he lied. I can take it to scriptures, David had some pride issues. David looked upon a woman he should not have looked upon. David committed adultery. David is guilty of murder. God had every reason and right to send down fire and brimstone, to slay David with pestilence, an enemy sword, And if God would have done that, none of us would have raised an eyebrow and said, why would God do that? David did wrong. But what makes David a man after God's own heart is not the fact that he sinned, it's the fact that he confessed his sin. He humbled himself every time. He repented of his sin. And here's where I believe we see God's gentleness, is that when David did wrong, everybody with me when the story with Bathsheba, he looked upon her, brought her in, adultery, murder. God just did not send some form of punishment immediately and slay David. Here's how he dealt gently with him. And number one, he sent a reprover.
Yes.
Remember the old prophet walked in, Nathan? He started telling him the story about the man with all the sheep and the one family that had the one little lamb. And the man with all the sheep wanted to have a feast, and so he took the one little lamb from the family that all had one and slayed that lamb. That family was left with nothing when the other family had all these other sheep. What should be done? And David said, tell me who he is, and I will slay them. Punishment should come. Not much gentleness there, is there? But Nathan then looked at him and said, thou art the man. Aren't you thankful that God has sent people in our life that when we're heading the wrong path, maybe we've made some wrong choices, that God sends people in our life to be a reprover to us?
Yes.
They may be found as a family, godly family member, a godly grandma, godly parent, a brother or sister in the church, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor. But praise God for the people that God sends in our life, because God has every right. Because we're guilty. But yet he sends a reprover. Nathan was dear to David. Because Nathan was used of God to show David he was wrong. And I see God's gentleness in that he sent a reprover. And then our fifth point, he gave David a space for repentance. Thou art the man. And David, a man after God's own heart, a man who was guilty, a man who had done wrong, he repented. He humbled himself. He confessed. And a sign of true repentance, he accepted whatever punishment God thought. God could have struck David down. God could have sent down the Sodom, fire and brimstone. He could have sent the Philistines in to slay him. But instead, David found gentleness. You say, well, David was punished. He was.
Right.
And there's always a consequence for our sin.
Right, yes.
But remember what David's punishment, remember whenever he was lifted up in pride, remember he was given three options one time for a punishment? You can be overrun by the enemy. You can have famine for years. Or 3 days of pestilence. And David said, I'd rather place myself in the hand of God. Because who knows if God will show mercy. Because he knew that he's a God of gentleness. David faced his punishment, but he accepted it. That's why he was a man of God. Not because he sinned. Now, I know none of us, I don't think, are going to... We classify sin. You know, well, I haven't sinned like David, right? Well, we've all sinned.
Right.
And I don't think that our sin is less of a sin than David's sin.
Right.
We're all sinners. But just as God showed David such gentleness, and David's able to look back at the end of his life, and no doubt he thought about all of his mistakes. He thought about all the sins. He thought about the failures. And that's why he was able to testify, God's gentleness hath made me great. Today, I'm looking at an auditorium filled with people, and you are looking at a pastor today who, if you're saved and you're in the will of God and enjoying the blessings of God in your life, it's because of God's gentleness. We've been made great. That same gentleness we need to show to others. That same gentleness. You say, but this person, he's rotten. Well, so are we. Well, I've overcome a lot of that. And they might too if you show them the same gentleness God showed you. Because when God saw David, when God saw Travis Burke, when God saw you, he saw a reason to be gentle. He supplied our every resource and what we need to get through life. He has shielded us often and time again. And when we're wrong, praise God, he sent reprovers in our life. And we all have been beneficiaries of that time and space for repentance. I mean, the whole books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, the church at Corinth was in a mess, wasn't it? Some pretty rotten things. And God could have just removed the candlestick, shut it all down, but he gave them a time to repent. There are 7 churches in the books of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Those churches, a lot of them were quite a mess. But God didn't just reach down and shut the doors. Every one of them, he gave them a space of repentance. He sent a message because he dealt with them gently. Everybody look at me and I'll close the message. God has dealt with you gently. God has dealt with your my family gently. God has dealt with our church gently. God has dealt with our nation gently. God has dealt with this world gently. Number one, all of us should fall on our face today and say, thank you, God, your gentleness hath made me great. Every one of us should thank the Lord for our families and God's gentleness in our families' lives, our church's life. And then we need to go home this week. When you're at work and that boss or that person you employ or work with, you're ready to rip into them. Remember, the gentleness of God hath made me great. You're about to lose your temper with your kids, or your kids with your parents. You're about to say some pretty harsh words to your spouse. Remember, God's gentleness hath made me great. When you come back to church and someone gets on your nerves, remember, God's gentleness hath made me great. We all deal with it, don't we? And every time that that harshness and that wrong spirit comes out, remember, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. God help us all.